We know the Sanhedrin wanted to put him to trial and wanted to put him to death. The chief captain realized the situation because of a certain informant. And they came to realize that the Sanhedrin, about 40 people who were conspiring against the apostle, wanted to kill him. And finally, he was removed from Jerusalem and went on to Caesarea. And then we find that Felix heard the case. Of course, he is not convinced himself that Paul is worthy of the kind of judgment that the Jews want to inflict upon him. And we find that Felix adjourns the case, and Paul is basically put into kind of house arrest situation for 2 years at Caesarea. And then in chapter 25, Paul comes before Festus, the new governor. Procurius Festus was appointed Roman governor. Historically, the date runs about A.D. 60 under Emperor Nero. And we find that Caesarea was the political center for the Roman province, the Roman province of Syria, of which Judea was a part. And so after 3 days, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem to the religious capital of his jurisdiction. And so we find in verse 1 and 2, "Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he was sent from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him." And although it was now 2 years since Paul was in prison in Caesarea, the Jews had not forgotten that they had this particular hatred against the apostle, and they wanted to get rid of him. And thinking they might gain some political favor from the new governor, the high priest, and the principal men of the Jews, filled his ear, as it were, with charges against the apostle and asked him to be sent to Jerusalem for trial. Because that would be the most logical place for the Jews. They would have more advantage over the apostle, and not only so, that they might be able to do away with him very conveniently. So in verse 3, "And desired favor against him, that he would be sent for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." So Festus doubtless had been informed of their previous plan to kill the apostle, and the preparations and so forth. He therefore refused their request, but promised them that he would permit them have an opportunity to speak their case against Paul if they should come to Caesarea. And so, again, the plot continues. Paul is seeking some asylum, if you will, and protection under the Roman procurator. And we find at the same time he is looking forward to going to Rome. The Lord Jesus had told him that was his next place of entry, that he was to go to Rome and to be a witness there. As he continues to give himself into the hand of God's providence and do for himself as was necessary, he would find himself able to make an appeal to Caesar. In verse 4, "But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly. Let them therefore," said he, "which are among you who are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come to the Jews, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. And so after a stay of more than 10 days in Jerusalem, Festus returned to Caesarea and convened a court. And then we find that the Jews wanted to lay many charges against the apostle. Let's read on just a bit more in verse 7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many a grievous complaint against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against the Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Well, as it appears, Festus really was trying to curry some favor, as well as the Jews, to gain some. But Paul was not willing to do this. Paul rather desired to appeal to Caesar. He knew that that was the only way he was going to get any kind of a just hearing. And so as we pick it up in verse 10, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. For the Jews have done no, for to the Jews I have done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. And so Paul appealed to Caesar. That was the only place that he could see that he was going to get some kind of a just hearing and would be able to speak and his case. And so we find that he refused by stating that the court in Caesarea was the proper place for the trial, and if he had committed any such crimes, then let Caesar judge him, and not these who were at Jerusalem. And of course, they had many arguments against the apostle and wanted to close his mouth, as it were. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." And so Festus agreed, Paul making his particular case before Festus, and rightly so. He was a Roman citizen. He could make this appeal, and so he did. And we find that he was to go unto Caesar. Picking it up again in verse 13 of chapter 25, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders and the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. And so here is one of the Roman laws which even today continues, that is, that one has the right to face their accusers and to be justly charged if there is charges. And so sometime after this, King Herod Agrippa II and his sister Bernice, they come to Caesarea to congratulate Festus on his new appointment. Agrippa was the son of Herod Agrippa I, who murdered James, as you may remember, and also imprisoned Peter. His sister was a woman of supposedly unusual beauty. While historians ascribe an unsavory reputation to her, including her relations with her brother, the New Testament is silent on this particular matter. But we find that Paul gains some amount of leverage here. He can be carried over unto Jerusalem, unto Caesar. He can have a hearing in Caesar's court, as it were, and he'll have an opportunity to face his accusers. And so this becomes an important turning point for the apostle. And so he uses the opportunity of these courts to gain a hearing for himself. And so Festus recounts this case to King Agrippa. And verse 15, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against me, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. And so he has this opportunity to speak. Verse 17, therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay, on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom when they had accused stood up, they brought none occasion of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstitions, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. It's interesting that in this particular case in the narrative, we find that the name of Jesus comes up. After all, that is the very reason why that they were so much against Paul, that is, the Sanhedrin. They were against this particular sect called the Followers of the Way. They were against the propagation of the gospel of Christ. They believed it caused sedition among the Jewish people, and of course they even tried to make certain claims that there was insurrection in the preaching of this sort of thing against Caesar. And then we find also here that they even mention Paul affirmed that Jesus was still alive. And so it points out the gospel that Paul was preaching, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, wherein the resurrection, of course, was very focal to the preaching of Christ and of the message of which Paul and the other apostles were to preach, because it underscored the fact that Jesus Christ not only died, but that he arose again according to the scriptures. And this message being that central message of the apostles as they went throughout the known world at the time preaching the gospel of Christ. And so Festus reviewed this offer to Paul to go to Jerusalem. But Paul appeals to Caesar Augustus. Of course, Augustus is simply a title for Caesar here. And this, of course, raised a problem in sending his prisoner to Rome. What charge would he make against him, since Agrippa was a Jew and therefore conversant or understood the matters involving Judaism? Festus hoped that he would get some help in drawing up a suitable charge. And so they make certain questions, that is, verse 19, but had certain questions against him of their own superstitions. This was the idea that the Jews had, that they would just kind of paint Paul as being this troublemaker, this person who opposed the Jewish traditions, this person who believed that Jesus was still alive after he had been crucified, and so on. Verse 21, but when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And so Agrippa prepares to hear the Apostle Paul. And so the next day a formal hearing was arranged, and Agrippa and Bernice arrived in great pomp and great circumstance, of course, and they were accompanied by the commander and the prominent men of the city. and Paul was brought in before them. Verse 23, and on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captain and with principal men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer, as they, of course, desired to get rid of him. Verse 25, but when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, that is to Caesar, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. They was having a hard time coming up with some charge. All they had was the word of the Jews and the Sanhedrin, and the certain accusations that was made against the apostle, and they were pretty much groundless as far as Festus was concerned. And he couldn't even put anything down on paper for certain that Agrippa might use as a means of sending him unto Caesar. But the particular case of politics, there is usually a lot of political pressure to carry through on various things that people want, especially when they are influential people, such as, in this case, the Sanhedrin. We do remember the case with the Lord Jesus. There was no particular charge before the Lord Jesus either, except those that were curried up by the council, the high priest and the council. And so we find that the Jewish council made many accusations against the apostle, but we know that is against Jesus, but we know that Pontius Pilate found most of these things baseless and didn't know what to charge him with. And in the end, we know that he simply gave them a choice between two people. Did they want to kill Barabbas, or did they want to kill Jesus? And they chose, of course, to kill Jesus. Which is often the case when it comes to those who are maligned but very innocent, and who are preaching the gospel of Christ or the true word of God, and people do not want to hear it. They often choose the side of evil. As we find that in this particular case, the politics lent themselves that Paul would be carried over unto Rome. And so Paul would make his defense before Agrippa in chapter 26. And that as we go into chapter 26, we would see those things beginning to play out. I'm a little bit early this afternoon, but I think I'll stop right there, and we'll pick it up next time at chapter 26 and go into this lengthy discourse here between Paul's defense with Agrippa and what Agrippa has to say as well, his personal appeal to Agrippa. And of course, Paul at last will be sent to Rome, and which would be the fulfillment of the very prophecy of which Christ said to Paul, that he must needs go unto the Gentiles, and so that he would go to Rome. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do ask for your blessing upon your word. Lord, we know that often those who are missionaries and those who are servants of God, those who are ones to go forth and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in unknown areas and in areas where there is perhaps even violence or those kinds of things against the preaching of the gospel of Christ, we know that they face many hardships. The Apostle Paul was facing these certain hardships from very high officials in the Jewish courts, and as well as a very ill favor among the Gentile courts. And Lord, we pray that that as we think of missionaries around the world today, perhaps pastors who are imprisoned in foreign countries, and perhaps ministers of the gospel who are in harm's way in places where the gospel is preached, but yet the people are not friendly, and where the people find themselves preaching Christ, but living on the edge, realizing that there are many hurtful things that can happen unto those who preach Jesus, realizing that it is a condemnation of the nature of man for their sin, and man does not want to turn to God, but is in rebellion against God. And so we find that the nations rage and the people desire a vain thing. And Lord, we would pray that you would watch over and protect your messengers wherever they are, and grant your grace and mercies unto them, and that your divine providence would be in their favor until such and such time that they may be vindicated, or that they may stand for the glory of God. We thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.